Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian Berkowitz here from New York with my good friend Rich Baum out of Sacramento, California. I stole your line
for you. You covered it for me. Yeah, it's good, Brian. It's good. 2023 is going well. Business is picking up. And I am so happy to be back in Sacramento and just jamming at the real estate and design photography.
Cool quarter two. I'm you have a good quarter happy. One. I know you were back and forth out of town.
No, I had a really bad quarter one, but I was in Mexico, so it's okay.
That's not, you doesn't know. Sound bad.
No. Oh, I had a good one for, but not in quarter statistics for my pay. Anyway, and how are you? You've got a one-year-old that is just turning one.
Just turned one, yeah. A couple weeks ago.
And you're saving up for her retirement or for her college and your retirement, things like that?
I am as of a couple of weeks ago. Our guest on the show can tell you that. So so let's use that as a nice segue and get into it. So we have two guests on the show today, one returning, one new. I'll start with the new guest. First guest is Matt Nagaki. He's out of Long Island, New York, out here by me. Full disclosure, he does work with me personally, and he's a financial advisor with Prudential. So, Matt, why don't you just take, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and just give a quick intro and your background and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm a financial advisor with Prudential, past 17 years. I specialize in retirement planning and life insurance, and help clients save for their future, whether it be through different vehicles for saving small business owners, and that's what I do, and I love it.
Sure, and even though you are here in New York, I know we discussed this before, you are licensed in several states, and I want to make sure to say that in case anybody that's in one of these states does want to reach out to you, you want to just let people know what you can and can't do in other states besides New York?
Yeah, so I'm licensed in New York, many other states, and the whole thing with a couple of years ago with technology-wise, it's a lot easier to do business now throughout the U.S. than it was, a few years ago. So basically, any client in any state, I can do business with the proper licensing. Yeah,
cool. And our second guest, Rachel Atkins, has been on the show before. You're Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seattle area, right? Yep. Out of Seattle, Washington. And you run Focus Media Collective, which I think has probably grown immensely since the last time we spoke. But every time I see you, you're just growing and growing. So what's up, Rachel?
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about what you got going on. And you're a fellow podcaster. So
I am. Yeah, we've got so I'm a real estate photographer and I have a team that shoots for me. We're actually pretty much the same size as last year. We grew really fast last year and then we kind of pulled back, and I've got some new systems in place. So when we're full and booked, we're booked. I'm not compromising quality. So with new shooters, so I've got people in training right now. But yeah, I have a real estate photography podcast, Shooting the Shit, with Rachel Ann and Neil Young. So that's been fun. We're on our 1 year anniversary as of this last month. So 34 episodes done. It's crazy.
That's a lot.
Is that it?
Trust me, that's a lot.
We're really enjoying it. It's really fun. So I'm also a co-host on a TV show called The Master Plan, where we explore the best resorts one adventure at a time. We're filming on Wednesday again. So that's been great. And what else? I'm a real estate broker. It's kind of like a side hustle. Me and my husband got our license together and we just take on a few deals a year. So we have a listing going live next month. And I have a course coming out on how to post like a millennial on social media. So lots of good stuff going on.
You don't stop.
Yeah. It's a little crazy.
All right, cool. So before we get into it, as always, let's take a quick minute and pause to hear a quick word from our sponsor, HD Photo Hub.
HD Photo Hub is the complete solution for any photography business that needs a professional white label platform that automates payment collection, scheduling, and photo delivery, all without monthly contracts or fees. HD Photo Hub is all about your business and your brand. They don't put their logo on any of your order forms or sites, and they even integrate with the email services and automation tools you are already using today. Hey, they even have live customer support to help you get started. Visit hdphotohub.com and sign up for a free one-on-one demo or live webinar to learn more.
Well, that's great. And I just want to say welcome to my two guests and my three guests, Brian. Thank you for coming and joining me here. But this was a podcast that I came up with the idea because I being 65, and I've had a long career in several things, and it might be different than many people. But one thing isn't different is I found that the need to really get started and putting some money away. And I didn't really think about this much in my 20s and 30s. But really now that I'm older, I think, how could I not? And what have I got to do now? And how am I going to get started? And it could be anywhere from just myself to marriage to having children. And now my kids are 21 and 22 are going to college. My son's getting into law school. So I have to deal with all this stuff. But I thought that what can we do to help people in our industry, which is either photographers or real estate photographers? And this is probably not on everybody's radar, but I'm sure everybody thinks about it. So we brought on Matt as a financial consultant. Again, this is take everything with a grain of salt and just, you know, you can reach him offline to get more information. But Rachel is as someone who is in the younger age and, you know, and the just between 15 and 40. I don't know. You're somewhere around there, but I'm not going to pigeonhole you. But she's got some great ideas on how to take what we're doing and incorporate it into saving money and just planning out our future. So that was really what I wanted to do because I feel really bad for people coming up where it's not even on your radar. But something I know in hindsight is it should be somewhat on your radar. And as I always say, time is our friend. Compound interest or whatever you're doing. If you start young, you have to save a lot less every week or every month or whenever you do it. And you get a lot more at the end of the day than if you're trying at 50 or 60 to try and start saving money. So I'm just going to leave this to the professionals. But I mean, the first thing I guess I want to say is thank you for coming on. And I'm looking over here because I'm looking at my questions. I just want to must have resources to learn about understanding in savings and investments for people like us. Matt, where would you go to start to, if somebody was just trying to think about, well, what can I do? How am I going to get there? Where would you go at the beginning? Would you reach out to somebody like you? Would you go online? Because going online is a crapshoot, but what would you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's different. The basic thing is just to start out with something, to reach a professional or to go online. You know, there's different avenues that you can go through. Like Rich, like you were saying before, time is your friend when investing and doing anything. With inflation and everything going on, you can see the cost of things increase, right? So whether you're buying stocks, you're buying real estate, you're buying some kind of appreciable asset, you're going to do well in the long run, but it's just a matter of time. So starting off, don't get crazy about, you know, investing $1 million and just start off what you can. Start off small and start off as soon as you can and put that money away into different vehicles. And, you know, we can go into that if you want to, different type of accounts that you can invest in.
Sure. I mean, I'm kind of curious because I know, like Rachel, you said you started your mid-30s, started kind of talking about retirement. I mean, what kind of difference, and it's hard to put numbers on paper because there's so many different variables between what kind of accounts you can invest in, but let's say age 25 to 35, I mean, that's 10 years. And I feel like that 10 years alone can make such a difference in your investment in the long term when you're starting. I'm not trying to knock that you didn't start earlier, Rachel, but my point is, you know, you said, Matt, you have to start thinking about this as early as you can. So is there a way to compute what kind of difference even a year, 2 years, 10 years makes starting earlier?
Yeah, so I actually did an analysis just get an idea of, you know, at different ages. So, for instance, if you were to start at just investing, putting away $100 a week at age 25, over the course of 40 years till 65, sounds like a lot of years, but it goes by fast, very fast. And that number, $100 a week at an 8% rate of return, no one has a crystal ball, but over the average long-term investing in the market, figure around 8% average, you're over $1.2 million. that initial investment is somewhere around $200,000 that you would have put in to get $1.2 million of investments at the end of the day. So there's our accounts that you can put that in after tax. They're called the Roth IRA if you're eligible for it, gross tax deferred. So that $1 million of profit, that $1 million of gain would be all tax free. So there's a lot of different, you know, variables. If you were to wait basically 10 years from 35, that 35 number, instead of having over $1.2 million, just that 10 years, 1.2 would go down to 560,000.
Dang it.
Yeah, that like nails it right there. Thank you, Matt. You said it. And again, for me, in hindsight, this is such a no-brainer. And I luckily I had a wife that embraced or made me embrace it, and it's paid off so incredibly. And the thing is, it's going to come. And who knows what's going to happen in the future though. So I guess I want to ask you, what are some different, in the past, you might be thinking about getting in the market, and you and I had spoke together about doing Bitcoin and things like that. But I think for this specific thing, this vehicle, you need to have a lot of security, and you need to have it be very basic and rudimentary. You're not looking at 50% returns. You're looking at 5-8%, whatever you're talking about, because... And you can't be looking at your investments on this specific thing for retirement. For Bitcoin, go crazy. Go gamble and have fun and do it, and you might make some money. But for this kind of thing, you can't be looking at it, because like right now, we're taking a big hit in our economy right now with the investment situation, with the whole financial situation. And I think that is something that I am glad I'm all trained not to worry about it. I'm looking at, we're going to be okay. And obviously we have to move money around. We have to move it out of cash, move it into investments or whatever, and move it out of the stock market. But together we're going to be fine, my wife and I. But what do you say to, what is the best, I mean, what is something you want to think about other than what you had already mentioned?
You know, so in investing, a lot of investing, especially for retirement, is based off of investing is a lot of its time horizon. So the longer time horizon you have, the more aggressive growth oriented you want to be. Shorter time horizon, more conservative you want to be. So if you're close to retirement, say you need the funds in 5 years or so, you don't want to be very aggressive, because if the market goes down, you won't have that time to recover. But if you're young and you have a long time horizon, it pays over the long term to be diversified, aggressive, exactly, oriented, because you can ride those waves. Investing, even so, give an example, in 2008, that was above $14,000. So market crash, went down over 50%. So if you had a $100,000 investment, being all aggressive in the market, the 100 would have went down below 50. If you left it and did nothing, even at the height of the market, you would have been up a lot more since those times. So the 100 would have went to 50, the 50 would have went back to 100, and then up past 200 now, if you left it and did nothing. So it's just, you know, keeping it invested and letting it long-term growth do its thing.
So let me ask you, Matt, for people like us, most of us have our own businesses or we're independent contractors. I guess there are some situations where there are, you know, photography studios you can work for that do give you benefits. Rachel, do you give benefits to your employees or?
No, I don't have any employees. They're all contracted workers.
Okay. So what for people like us that have to invest for retirement because there's nothing else coming to us from an employer, what options are there? There's different types of IRAs. I know there's SEP IRAs, which have higher amounts that you can deposit into. What are the best and different options available to people that they should start looking into?
So it comes down to, do you have employees or do you not have employees? And if you do have employees, do you want to provide a matching program for them? So let's let's assume that you do not have employees, because employees, there's different programs that you can get into, 401k, simple IRAs. If you don't have any employees, usually the best, if you're just a single owner operator, no employees, or like Rachel, you have everyone contracted out, so you don't hold any W-2 employees, you can set up a SEP IRA. So SEP IRA is a very simple plan. You can contribute a lot more than a traditional IRA. SEP IRA is, if you're self-employed, you're allowed to put in a lot more than a traditional IRA. Traditional IRA, last year, the max, or 2023, the max that you can do under 50 is $6,500 for the year. And a SEP IRA, they actually just increased. So SEP IRA is based off of 25% of whatever your gross income is. And it's maxed out this year at 66,000 is what you can put in there, up to 25% of your gross income. You know, you really want to speak to, have a good accountant to help out what you're eligible for and what you're not eligible for. But these plans make a lot of sense for self-employed people with no employees.
Cool. Let's shift gears for a little bit, because we're talking about a lot of the more traditional stuff. And Rachel, you do things that are a little different than your traditional investing, I guess. And we were talking on the phone, I think a week or two ago, and you were telling me some of the stuff you were doing. And you have a lot of different stuff going on with some big plans. So let's talk a little bit about that. I know a lot of it's real estate investing. Is that where your head's at?
Yeah. Yeah. So real estate investing has been kind of where my heart's been at. So how my journey started, I got divorced. And in 2017, I read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I would suggest everyone, if you haven't read that book, go read it, because it's going to open your mind to the difference between an asset and a liability. And it'll just start to make your gears turn about real estate investing, because that book is just, it's genius.
Say that again. What's the name of the book, Rachel?
A Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Okay. We'll put in it. Can we put that in the show notes, Brian?
Sure.
It's basically his dad was a school teacher, I believe. And he did the basic route of just investing, in a 401k. And then his other dad was an investor. And it shows the comparison of the two dads and where they ended up at the end of their lives with their investments and their financial situation. So it's really cool to see the comparison. Obviously, real estate investing can be a little risky, that it's big money, but there's a lot of resources out there to help you learn. I invested in some very expensive real estate investing courses back in 2018. A lot of my friends thought I was completely bonkers, but I believed in it and I did it and I learned so much. I don't regret it for a minute. So I bought a house 4 years ago, lived in it for about 3.5 years with the intention of fixing it up to be an Airbnb and then upgrading to a bigger house. So we did that. We just got it live in October and it's been renting out pretty much full time. It's been amazing. So that's one of our passive income streams. And then my husband and I have two houses. We live separate. He's going to be moving in with me in a couple years. And so we'll be renting out his house. And he bought his house 6 years ago. So now it's worth three times what he paid for it. So his mortgage is low. So we're going to make good money on that when we rent it out. So those two alone are going to be great. Plus, I refinanced my house, the little Airbnb, into a 15-year mortgage. So I have 12 more years left on that. And it's 2.25% interest. So don't be afraid to refinance. If you can get in a house now, you can always refinance later when the rates go back down.
Remember, if you refinance, don't go into a variable. When I was young in the 80s, my sister, God bless her, I hope she is listening, she convinced me to refinance and they said it would be great. And I got a few thousand dollars on to my own. Ended up, my payments went up the next month. So for the next 7-8 years, $500 a month going up. Anyway, it got crazy. So be careful what you do. And always, as we're discussing this, be really careful what you're doing. We're not trying to sway you to do one thing or another, but just investigate.
Yes. So we also have pulled HELOCs, so home equity line of credit, on two of our houses. So we have some cash in the bank, and we are waiting on a commercial investment deal that we're going to be doing here shortly, as soon as they find the land. And that'll just be total hands off. We just put the money in, they deal with it, and then we get a K-1, which is basically just a paycheck every month from that. So that's exciting. And we've been looking at out-of-state investments in Florida to do a duplex or something. It's just the numbers just are not working right now. So we're kind of just sitting on that, trying to figure out what our next move will be. And then I also have a self-directed IRA, which I invest. So basically, self-directed IRA is you put your money into an IRA, and then you control who you loan your money to. Instead of putting it into the stock market, you can put it into gold or silver. You can buy real estate with it. You can invest with the business. There's some limitations. Like if you were to buy a house with it, you can't do any work on that house, or else it will cancel the plan, and then you have to pay taxes on that money. So, and it's the same thing as like a 401k. You can't pull or touch that money, I think, until you're, is it 55 or 65? 59 and a half. Okay. Yeah. So that one I've loaned out twice, and I actually started when I got divorced. I had a 401k, and I had 25 grand in a 401k. I'll just tell you the numbers. So I rolled that over into a self-directed IRA, dropped 5 grand into it. So I had 30,000 to invest, and I ended up getting 20% interest in 1 year. So that was a pretty good return. So I made 6 grand in 1 year for doing nothing. Of course, there's fees involved, you know, it's like $500-$600 a year to have it. Depends on how much you have in there. And since then, I've put a lot more in it. I dropped like 25 grand into it last year and loaned it out again to a small business, and she has it for 4 years. So, and that one's a pretty good return as well. So it's just, but it's a little bit risky. I mean, you want to get some kind of collateral. So if they don't pay you back, it's tied to their house, like a lien. So you're in first or second position so that you can actually get paid if they default on that loan. So you got to have a lawyer on hand. You have to write up contracts, but it's all doable. It's just about educating yourself and learning. And if you're a real estate photographer, you are plugged into a lot of builders, and you're around a lot of real estate investors. A lot of real estate brokers are investors themselves. So if you just start talking to your brokers about these things, just start getting involved in the investment world, there's a lot of connections you can make to learn this stuff and to maybe loan your money out to some of these investors even. I have one client that he built this big investing company, and he looks for people to invest in his big projects that he does. So he's on my radar for 4 years when I get my money back. Could be a good investment with him. It just depends on the return and where we're at. So
yeah, we're in a good place to be able to talk to qualified professionals that we have personal relationships with. Mm-hmm. We just have to identify them and do it.
Yeah. Another great resource too is Bigger Pockets, the podcast. They are just a plethora of information. It's incredible. I used to listen to that all the time when I was driving, and there's all kinds of stories in there. You can hear about investors that have started with nothing and built this big investing business. You know, it's pretty cool. So lots of resources.
Okay. I want to jump in here if that's okay. We got a question from Doug Brown, and I know that we've kind of said this was a podcast for the younger, maybe younger people, but this is really a podcast for everybody, especially like me at 65, that I'd like to know more. And Doug brought this up. May bring this up. Susie Orman says to wait until you're 72 to take Social Security, because I'm in this exact position. I'm wondering, at 65 and a half, am I ready to pull out my money or wait for the extra money? This is kind of towards you, Matt. But yeah, because I am doing Social Security right now, and I am all signed up and got all my insurance taken care of. But now, are they saying to take Security Trust? Well, they're saying that Doug is asking, the Social Security Trust fund will be depleted by 2034, which I take with a grain of salt, because who the hell knows what's going on. But if you can start taking out Social Security earlier, should you? And my wife has been trying to tell me to, you know, we should wait. We should go to like 68 or 70 or 72. But I'm thinking, I'm 65, I'm healthy, I'm enjoying my life right now, and who knows if I'm going to be around in 5 or 6 years. What do you say, Matt, to taking out your Social Security as soon as, well, at 65 or whenever you can. I also have to deal with this in my union pension, but right now I'll just say Social Security. Should I start right now, or is it worth the extra little bit of money each month to wait?
Just remember, I would stay away from any cookie cutter approaches to really anything, right?
Like Susie Ormond? What do you feel about?
She probably has a lot of great ideas and a lot of great concepts, but it's not a one size fits all thing. Mm-hmm. So with Social Security, the way that I kind of approach it is that if you have to look at a couple different factors, your health, your family history, that a lot of that plays into it, whether you need the funds or you don't need the funds. The way that I look at it is if you need Social Security, if you're at a certain age, are you eligible for Social Security, whether it be at age 60 with survivorship, 62 with the earliest, 65, whatever age you're at, if you need the money and things are tight, take the money. That's what it's there for. But if you're going to, or if you just say, you know what, I'm going to use this and I'm going to enjoy retirement, or I'm going to enjoy the money, I'm going to use the money. But if you're going to take the money and then just have it sit in the bank, earning the 0.01% or whatever you're earning and not investing it and just kind of leaving it there, I say keep it in Social Security. Let it grow, because every year you hold it in Social Security, it grows by 8%. So and it grows every month too. So you don't have to take it at any certain age. So there really is no one size fits all with Social Security. It really depends on what you have going on, what your expenses are, what your current income is, and whether you feel you're going to use the money or not use the money. If you really need it, if you're going to use the money, highly look into taking Social Security. But if you say, you know what, I really don't need the money, or I'm at a young age, I'm still working, I'm still earning an income, I really don't need it, push it off, let it grow, and then take it. And if you have longevity in your life, because the average break-even point is around 14 years, depending on the calculations. But on average, meaning that if you were to take Social Security rather than later, it's going to take about 14 years to recoup that money. So you have to figure that into your equation. If you're, you know, if you have a great grandma Betty lived to 105 years old, maybe defer it, you know. But, you know, if that's not the case, maybe take it early.
But you think that we're still good on Social Security?
And yeah, that, a lot of changes over the years, whether every year the amount that we put into Social Security, the income limit increases. So that's more money going in. You know, they're changing. Maybe it will be reduced. Maybe it won't look like it does today, possibly. No one has a crystal ball, but I can't foresee it completely going away. I don't think so. That's not going to happen. But, you know, and that's why you invest, and that's why you do things on your own, like the putting into real estate or Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, SEP IRAs. Just invest in appreciable assets and invest in your business, which is important. You know, you have a photography business, you're growing, you got to buy equipment, you got to buy this, but you want to diversify. You want to take a little bit of each dollar you earn from a job and take that money and put it away into something that doesn't deal with photography. Maybe you have real estate, so maybe buy an IRA. Maybe you have an IRA, so buy real estate. And kind of, you know, mix. The key word is diversification, and you want to save as much as you can, as young as you can. And that's the, you know, and
10% you'd never notice, and just do it.
Yes.
10% can really add up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Especially if you start young, that kind of makes this whole thing work.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. I have a solo 401k, and I put just a set amount every month, just comes directly out of my business checking, and I don't even think about it. I don't even do it.
Good.
Yeah,
it's like your cell phone bill. You know.
Yeah, exactly. It just happens.
And that's what it is. You know, if money doesn't have a home, it finds a home very easy. There's always something to spend money on. So you want to set up automatic saving plans that it's, again, out of sight, out of mind, just goes to work for you.
No, it's important. That's what, you know, Matt, you and I were talking a couple of months ago when I was setting up an account for my daughter, and you said it's the same thing. You know, you set it up have it auto deducted. You don't even notice it. Look, my oldest son, you know, just turned 8, and I think we started Matt with an account for him. Rich is laughing. But
8, yeah. I can't believe it. It was like 4 when we met. Can't believe it.
Not kidding. Less than that. So my oldest son just turned 8, and I think we set up an account a year or two after he was born, Matt, and I think he's got over 20 grand now in it. So, and I don't even feel that, because it's 100 or 200 comes out a month that goes into it. I don't remember exactly what it is. And it just slowly adds up. And like you said, with the interest rate going there, it just slowly adds up. And when he's ready to either go to college or wherever, whatever he's going to use it for, it's going to be a valuable asset for him to get him going. So.
Absolutely.
With that, let's take a quick minute break because we have to hear a word from iGUIDE and then we'll come back.
Are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from the click of a button with the state-of-the-art iGUIDE camera system. Get your first 5 standard iGUIDEs up to 3,000 square feet free by adding the code Shooting Spaces in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiGUIDE.com to learn more.
Okay, welcome back. And I had so many things to talk about and think about because this subject is so dear to my heart. And I know it really, it doesn't interest some of you who have probably turned away already and unplugged us. But for a lot of people, I think that there are a lot of photographers that have taken us on as a second career. I wanted to know, Matt and Rachel and Brian too, but what should they think about in if you were somewhere in the nature of 55 to 65, or even later, let's say you're in retirement, it's a whole nother subject, you're in retirement and you want to continue working. Let's go with that one, Matt. If you're already retired or you're done working, but you want to keep working, so you keep doing it, God knows why. But what would you say to do, Matt, as far as trying to work in this with if you're collecting Social Security or something like that? What would you do there?
So if you're retired, you're collecting Social Security and you're collecting maybe a pension or just you have other investments, but you're still working, there are accounts that you can contribute to get a deduction if you're looking to reduce your taxable income. While you're working, just different avenues that you can put money into, and then you have to think about a distribution phase later on too. So at certain ages, like right now at 73, you have to start taking distributions out of any qualified accounts, any retirement accounts that you haven't taken distributions from too. So that's another thing to think about.
You have to, is that what you said?
Have to, yeah. You have to take minimum distributions, money that hasn't been taxed yet in an IRA, 401k, things like that. You have to start taking distributions. So if you're still working and you haven't taken Social Security yet, that's something that you may want to say, you know what, I'm going to defer it for as long as you can divert up to age 70. And once that stops growing, so you want to take it, at least at age 70. So it really depends on, what your scenario is and, putting away some money or taking on a distribution base.
And when you say distributions, can you clarify what that means?
So distribution, you spend all your lives accumulating these funds in these accounts, IRAs and 401ks. Then there comes a time that you have to start taking money out. So on the distribution phase, there's different accounts that you can go into, whether it be, stock accounts, mutual funds, annuities, even real estate properties, taking money, like Rachel was saying, self-directed IRA, transferring into buying a real estate and maybe collecting rental income. There's just different ways you want to generate income. And that's the name of the game once you reach a certain age.
Cool. Let me ask you, Matt, for people that are, I guess, in the age bracket, like Rachel or myself, I'm in my 40s, Rachel, you're in your 30s.
40s.
Are you?
Yeah, I turned 40 this year.
Oh, okay. Well, last time I saw you, you were in your 30s.
Yes.
welcome.
Thank you.
Besides actual retirement options, what other options are there for people just to invest for instance, my kids? You know, you set up accounts for me for all three of my kids, and different other ways to invest, not necessarily for my retirement, but ways of investing and taking our income and turn it into more for our family.
Yeah, so there are different accounts you can set up. Custodial accounts for the kids that you invest for them at a young age, under the age of 18. And basically when they reach the age of maturity, those funds are, you know, go to them. And there you can put in, you can invest those if you want to be aggressive or conservative, moderate, you can invest in mutual funds and stocks, indexes. And then there are college 529 accounts that you can go into depending on your state and the state tax rules that you have. But some states offer favorable tax laws and deductions for money that you put into these 529 plans. So those monies grow tax deferred and you could take it out tax free for college expenses.
They have to be used exclusively for college, right? Nothing else.
So they have actually really broadened the scope how you can take the money out. So now it's really you can use it for trade school. You can use it for even some private schools before college. It could be international, even though you don't have a state plan. Say if you're a New York resident, you have a New York State 529 plan, the child can go to any state. You know, in the U.S., out of the U.S., it could be used for tuition, room and board. It's very broad what you can use it for. So that's one of those plans that you can set up for the kids too. And if you have children that are a little bit older, and say you have a company, you're the owner of a photography company, and you have children that may be able to work for you. If you put those, and again, you would have to, you know, speak to the accountant, make sure that all the numbers work out, but you may be able to put them on the books for the company, and then they can now contribute to their own retirement plans. So the kids could contribute to a Roth IRA. And just think of that, a Roth IRA for, say, a 15-year-old, right? Years of investing until 65, all tax-free. It's very powerful, very powerful. So that's another idea that some photographers, they have school, you know, kids that are involved in the business, set them up early as you can.
Are those 529 plans transferable to other children? Like, what if that kid decides they don't want to go to college? Can you transfer it to other family members?
Yeah, you can transfer it to any. So the parent, most of the time, so say mom and dad is the account owner, the beneficiary is the child, then that beneficiary, you can change it to any beneficiary that you want, another child, a grandchild, a cousin. And then if you don't use it for any qualified, say the child gets a full scholarship and you don't need the funds for whatever reason, you'll pay taxes and penalties just on the growth of the account. But now they've actually opened it up with new tax law this year that you can convert that 529 up to certain limits into a Roth IRA for the child too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That was always my hang up with it. I'm like, what if my kids don't go to college? What if they just start their own business? Like, I don't want to be stuck.
Yeah. And the thing is, don't ever let a hesitation stop you from investing. So it really does matter. You don't want to go into like speculative, like, you know, Joe has a stock that he's selling on the, you know, that nobody knows about, you know, that kind of thing. But just investing in general, be open to it and do it earlier than later, because you could always
now.
You know, just start with something, just start. And this way you'll know if it works, if you like it, if you don't like it, just start.
Cool. Let me ask you, Rachel, because we spoke a little bit off the air prior to this, where you have a plan, and I think this will resonate with a lot of us photographers that run our own business. You know, another way that you plan on investing for retirement is growing your business to a certain point where you can then sell it and then mm-hmm. live off, I guess, the funds. So let's get into that a little, talk about that, because you know, you do something a little bit different than I do, where I run my own business and, you know, I'm the photographer. I don't have any other people shoot for me, but, you know, I don't really shoot real estate anymore. I shoot mostly design, and 85% of my work is retail, but I am my brand. So, you know, when I shoot, my client expects me to show up. You have a little bit of a different circumstance where you have a bunch of photographers that do shoot for you, and you're scaling your business in a different way than I'm able to do. So you have a plan, I guess, to eventually one day sell it off and use those assets to either retire or to invest in some more stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it used to be Rachel Ann Photography. And when I started getting shooters coming on, everyone expected me. They're like, oh, I thought you were going to do it.
You on the show, you were Rachel Ann Photography.
Yeah, I was. I did my rebrand that spring. So finally, I was like, okay, I got to get my name off the business. And I want to sell the business in 10 years. I want to retire in 10 years. That's my goal. Like partially retire. I'm still going to do some stuff, but I just want to be free to travel the world if I want to, and I can work remotely. So yes, my plan is to build it. I really honestly don't want to get much bigger. It's just kind of a headache. And right now it's like, we'll slowly, gradually grow, but I want to grow comfortably. But I am setting it up to where I can sell it. I have a lot of systems in place. I've got a lot of flow charts of what, you know, everybody in the company does. I sat down with a business organization gal, and she helped me map out kind of what it looks like me as CEO, and then having the lead shooter who oversees these people, and then the manager over here who oversees all the admins and the virtual assistants, and what all those positions look like, and writing out the actual job description of each person on the team, and then implementing more systems so that, and having everything recorded, like every process and system that I have, I record on a Loom video. So I have this whole library of Loom videos of how to do pretty much everything in my business. So when I do go to sell it, it's a full package. It's all there. You know, I can easily pass it over to someone, and it's just like plug and play. And my name's off the brand. So they're just taking over Focus Media Collective, just a new owner, and all those systems are in place, and it just runs like it did before, just without myself running it. So.
And are you waiting for a certain time to sell, or certain when you're valued at a certain amount? What's your plan there? Or
when my daughter graduates from high school, I'm free. I can go wherever I want. So
how old is she now?
She's 10, so that's like 8 years. But I'll probably stick around for a couple of years. I don't know. We'll see where she goes to college. She's like set on Idaho, so I don't know. We'll see.
Right wing. Okay. I got to ask you though, Rachel. The thing that would concern me about that is, where are we as real estate photographers, or real estate photography in general, where is that going to be in 8 years? I get this feeling that I'm not sure I believe in the trajectory of the business in regards to the real estate photographer. And who knows? I mean, with AI, I mean, God, there's so much crap coming down. What the F are we gonna be dealing with, and are we thinking about in the future? Again, as I'm always saying, I feel kind of sad for my kids, because not that they're in the real estate photography business, but because they're just young and they have to deal with all of the stuff in the future. And now with everything I've seen this last week on AI, I mean, and I know with Zillow and with all the several other companies that are trying to take over the business, what does it mean? So how does that affect you and your feeling? And I'm sure you've obviously thought about that. How does that affect you?
I feel like, well, we're a media company, so we're more than just real estate photography. Right. We're offering, you know, video services and mm-hmm. social media, you know, ideas. That's another reason why I'm creating the course. It's just another form of passive income. And it's another avenue of income for me, because I'm all about like diversifying. If I can have just little bits coming in from everywhere, I'm like, if one tanks, I'm still going to be okay. Rich, like, don't
I,
ever
Rich put... and I sell courses, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
YouTube.
So yeah, I think there will always be a need for the human touch within our industry. There's a creative aspect to photos that AI just can't do, I think, as of now, hopefully. Yeah. But yeah, I think there will always be ways that AI can go in and do it. Like, for instance, the Matterport cameras. You can pull pictures from Matterport that are like pretty well done, and it's only going to get better. Or those, you know, the 360 cameras where you can go in and do a tour and then pull pictures from that even, you know. So there's ways now that AI can kind of take over in that sense, but there's something about a human going to do a job and doing it custom for someone, more of that boutique feel, that I think is, there's still going to be that need. Yes, there will be brokers who go the cheap route and do just the Matterport pictures or whatever the next tech is, but there's still going to be a, you know, a big range of brokers out there who just don't want to deal with it. They're like, just come do it for me. You know,
I believe with you, trust me.
Yeah.
I think I have a lot of faith in my clients, but it's kind of an interesting.
And I think it's important, whatever you do business, if you can find a niche, that will help you tremendously. So whether it be, you know, photography in a whole, but if you can narrow it down and get a niche of either community or, you know, some kind of niche, you'll be more secure than if you don't have the niche. And more profit.
Definitely.
Cool. Let me ask you, Matt, I think you mentioned it quickly in passing in the beginning, but it's, I think it's important to talk about it. And it's not necessarily retirement, but more, I guess, security, and that's life insurance. You know, I unfortunately, I've heard stories of, you know, tragedies in families and people that don't have it. And I don't even want to talk about that because it's, you know, a little morbid or whatever and sad. But you know, you said you're a life insurance broker. I mean, how important is it? I mean, we know it's important, but like, I know it's things.
Just ask my wife.
No, but it's something that people don't even think about. So,
she does.
I think it's one of the most important.
She can off me. No, sorry.
That's why you go down to Mexico. You're out of the country. No.
Well, let's just say she's got more out on me than I have on her. So, but no, it's very important. And you know, let me continue with that, Matt. What do you feel about that? And with the ages, where does it really become in play? Being single, being married, whatever you're dealing with.
Again, it all comes down to, you know, the individual scenario. But life insurance, plays a bigger factor if you have, say, if you have a spouse that you depend on both of each other's income, or one just depends solely on the other's income. If you have children, forget about it. Definitely plays into a big role there. If you have certain liabilities like a mortgage or something that you want to protect, that if something happens to you, think of yourself, if you're out earning an income, think of yourself as the printing press. So you are the money machine. You go out, you earn a living, you're printing this money. Something happens to you. If that printing press breaks, how is that money getting printed and who's depending on that money? And that's where life insurance comes into play. So there's a lot of different policies. You have term insurance, permanent insurance, different. There's a lot of different types of policies, a lot of different coverage amounts. It really depends on, you know, your scenario and what makes sense for you. The most important thing is to figure out the dollar amount that you need, and then you figure out the type of insurance after that. But if you have small children, definitely, protect yourselves, and you're doing it. You're taking it out on yourself, but you're doing it for your family. Another big reason to have life insurance is in partnerships too. If say you have two partners, say if you own a photography business with another person, and if you were to pass away, what happens with that side of the equity of the business? How does the other person's estate get compensated for that? If there's a value on the business, you can set it up, buy, sell, or rent. This is different ways that life insurance comes into play that way too. But it's very, very important. And it's depending on the age, you know, you're never too old, definitely never too young. I have policies. As soon as both my daughters had social security numbers, I took out life insurance on both of them. So this way, when they have a family of their own, now they have a policy that mom and dad took out for them when they were babies. And now they can have a policy for their family when they get older. But even when you're in your 60s, 70 years old, I set up some of my biggest policies with clients that are in their 60s and 70s, because the need for insurance changes. Yeah, you may not need, someone may not depend on it for your income, but it might make sense for estate planning purposes to leave the family X amount of funds to create a legacy. There's a lot of different reasons for life insurance. Very, very important in financial planning.
And don't forget something maybe to Rachel and to Brian and you too, Matt. Legacies is something to think about. It may have never crossed your mind, like mine, never crossed my mind until I got 60, 65 years old, where I am thinking about things that I would have never thought about before. And I know it's really hard for the younger people out there to really think about, because you've got so much going on. But if you can take a little chunk of what you're thinking about and just put it away for something you're not thinking about, but you know you should be thinking about, I think it's something that will really pay off in the long run, especially the earlier you start and get going on it. So,
but life insurance isn't very expensive. Like at my age, I pay like $34 a month for a pretty decent policy. So it's not a huge chunk of change to have it. And it just sets your family up for success. I mean, imagine if, you know, let's say you're 25, 30 years old and one of your parents passes away and they leave you a house or they leave you this life insurance policy for $700,000. Like, what could that do for your child's life? Imagine how much they could have such a leg up in life, you know, to be able to go out and buy their own house and get started, especially now because houses are so expensive. I feel terrible for first-time home buyers nowadays. Like, how are they going to do it? House hacking. We can talk about that if you want. That's a good one.
Whole another podcast.
Right. No. We'll do that next. Dang it.
Oh, because God, no. So, but you said it so right on, Rachel. It's just something you've got to think outside yourself and think outside of your immediate situation and really go, well, you know, what have I got to do? And I know this is just going to roll off. Most of the people that it's going to roll off of have already left this podcast, but there's a few hanging on that I really believe that will get a lot of value out of really the things we brought forth, especially with age as your friend, the younger you do it, but your responsibilities and your fun, you know, the things that are important. And there's, I mean, we could continue this conversation forever because there's so much about it. I know, but anyway, I think it's great that we're bringing it up.
Yes. And none of this is fun to plan out. Like, honestly, every time I think about financial planning, I'm like, this is terrible. Yeah, I'm like, real estate investing is a little exciting.
Money for diapers. I'm so excited.
But you'll sleep better at night. Trust me.
You're talking my language.
You don't even know. And you know what? I feel lucky. I really do feel lucky. I'm still kiteboarding and windsurfing and doing all the kind of fun stuff I do. But I definitely feel I'm a lot more beat up from 60 to 65, I'll tell you. But I just think it's something that we should all think about. And don't let it take over your old consciousness. Really just embrace it and just deal with it. And as you said, $34 a month, Rachel, you know, you're getting something. You do something, whatever you're going to do, right, Matt? Whatever you do, do something. It's really something you'll look back on and be so glad that you did it, because today it's overwhelming. I mean, with the political landscape and that the people thinking that the whole Social Security is going to just drop out. I mean, I'm like really glad I'm me now, but I feel I'm very concerned for my children, which we've actually, that's part of the reason we looked out for them. But, you know, because who knows what's going to happen. So, but Brian, why don't we answer a couple of questions?
Yeah, we're running low on time. Yeah. We got a few questions
here.
Let's
low get on into time, those
before we call it a night. So yeah. I guess, Matt, I guess this is directed towards you. Danger Powers asks, what's your best investment options in the event of an economy tank? Real estate, other currencies, metals? And I guess
Bitcoin,
you know, we're in a down economy now. So, that being said, what, you know, I guess you kind of said, if you're in it for the long haul, just leave it. But,
So I'm a believer in the U.S. economy over a long period of time. You know, there are scenarios, anything can happen. The sun couldn't come up tomorrow. We don't know, you know, really. I mean, there are so many different variables that can happen. So I would just steer you towards, don't focus on one specific thing, because if that day never happens, where are you, right? So if you diversify, if you go into real estate, gold, commodities, US stock, just all across the board, that's your best bet. Obviously, you can't do everything at once, right? So you build up a little here, then invest in something else and build up and build up and build up. That's the, you know, but don't try not to focus on one specific, we call them sectors of the market. So gold or, you know, real estate, just diversify is the most important thing. And then you'll be okay in the long run. You really will.
Awesome. And then we have a question here from Doug Brown. A little bit long here. I'm a little bit older than Rich, and honestly, the hardest thing to figure out is Medicare. I still don't know if I'm doing it the best way. It's so complicated. It's hard to figure out. If you don't do it right, it could easily cost you if you have health issues. It is harder to find information on Medicare than investments. I mean, there's no real question there, I guess, but he's just...
I'm right there, man. I just signed up for Medicare last year or 2 years ago. So
Medicare, there are specialists. I don't specialize in health insurance or Medicare, but there are specialists that I would recommend getting someone local. There are Medicare specialists that all they do is this type of planning. So if you can find a local health insurance agency or a Medicare planning, do we know what state he's in?
No, Doug, what state are you in? Say something in the chat.
But so just a local person, because you want to make sure there's different plans that you can sign up for, and you want to make sure that your hospitals
in
and
Michigan.
Okay, so you want to find a local person in Michigan that knows kind of what hospitals and what doctors are around the area, and you have open enrollment every year that you could change your plan. So, but it's definitely. You want to match up your doctors and your medication with the type of Medicare supplement plan that you choose. But you definitely want to talk to, you should be able to find a local professional in your area for that.
Yeah. And I'd like to say, I just had to sign up for Medicare and I'm paying a lot more now than I was before, but I've always had a motion picture health and welfare from my time in the movie industry, which was zero deductible, zero everything. And I'm paying a lot more now, but I'm still paying less than before. But it is very complicated. And it is something I do agree with Matt. Find a professional in your area to do it. One thing I will say, though, is if you're 62, make sure that you reach out and you sign up for Medicare before you're 65. Because if you miss that boat, if you miss that date, it's going to cost you dearly. So, and this is something I almost missed. I got on the boat like 6 months before and just made it under the skinny of my teeth. But anyway, it is just a whole new landscape. So just be proactive and find out before you need it. And as far as, you know, getting all your Social Security done, just find out everything you can before you need it. And because when it's time to do it, it's hard to get the information, and it's really quite a bureaucracy. So anyway.
Yeah. You don't want to be rushed with it. You want to know, you know, again, line everything up and not have to make a, you know, rushed decision on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And with that.
Yeah. Ryan? Let's hear a final word from our photo op sponsor before we wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. Let's face it, editing sucks. It sucks time, it sucks money, and it sucks resources away from your business and your family. That's why PhotoUp has changed the game. PhotoUp allows you to work one-on-one with an experienced editor that is 100% dedicated to you and your business. Photographers with a PhotoUp dedicated editor say their edits are good or amazing 98.6% of the time. They're able to deliver images to their clients faster, and they get editing as low as 50 cents per image.
Really? As low as 50 cents an image?
You heard that right. Editing as low as 50 cents per image. Ready to find your dedicated editor? Sign up for a free PhotoUp account at PhotoUp.net and send trial images to 3 different dedicated editors. That's right. Try 3 different editors absolutely free.
3 for free. I like that.
So today, when you're all done shooting spaces, head over to PhotoUp.net and hit the sign up button or click the PhotoUp logo on the Shooting Spaces website.
And don't forget to tell them Rich and Brian sent you.
Okay, so welcome back. And I just want to, we're going to wrap this up. It's been a really insightful discussion for me. And I think it's really something that, again, I want to impress upon everybody. Take it from me, Rich Baum. You've always known me. I'm tips and tricks guy, and I'm only here to help you. But really, think about it. Whether you're 20 years old and you're just starting in this business, or 65 or 75, get on board. Do what you can. Again, so important. Time is our friend. Compound interest. If you start early investing, it's going to really pay off no matter what you do, whether you're going to stay in this business or change. But get on board, get a plan together, and really, it's just about your common sense and what you want to do. And I know it's tough to think about, but make it happen, because it's going to really help you out later in life. And I want to thank Matt and Rachel for coming on. Brian, thank you.
Each person, Matt and Rachel, give a little plug where people can find.
Yeah, please do.
Matt, where can people find you or reach you if they want to reach out to you and have any questions, want to speak about different things?
Yeah. So Prudential, my phone number, it's 631-927-3325. 631-927-3325. And, I have a LinkedIn, I work for Prudential. I have a Prudential agency in Setauket, Long Island, New York. And if you Google Niegocki, Niegocki, and Prudential, I'll come up there. So Niegocki Prudential, Matt Niegocki from Prudential, 17 years, and you'll find me on the
awesome. And I'll put your email in the show notes so everyone has it.
Cool. Okay, great.
And Rachel, where can people find you if they don't know yet? You're everywhere.
Yeah, I have a new Instagram that I've started, so I'll plug that one.
Yes, I saw you followed me yesterday.
Yeah.
New account. Okay.
Yeah, this is for the course, and it's more of just like my personal brand. Like, I'm building up my own lifestyle brand under Rachel Ann. So it's Rachel Ann App, RACHAEL, and I have a big star on my shirt, so that'll make it easier to find.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. And Rachel, I'm going to call you because I want to learn about house hacking. We had no time, but I'm going to train one day.
You want to do an after hours episode?
Always reach out to me if you have any questions regarding this situation. You know me on my channels, whatever, Facebook, whatever. But always happy to help, because this is something that's dear to my heart, because I want to pass on to you the things that I've learned and some of the things I didn't learn. But I think we have three other people besides me here that really have a good handle on how to get the most out of your future and your life. And it's super important. And so don't think it's just going to go away and you're going to be okay without it. So.
Cool. So thank you, everybody who's live, who's still with us, and all our listeners out there. And again, Matt, Rachel, thank you both for coming on. Rich, you have any final words?
Yeah, I just want to say bless y'all and happy 2023. And I think it's going to be a fantastic year. It's going okay. It's interesting times right now. And I think we're all feeling it. So it's something to think about and add to this whole conversation. What are we going to do in the future? But we never know that, we'll see. But as always, I want to say until next time, thank you, and join us in shooting some spaces.